Blog Talk Radio.
Of a brother on this good Wednesday, Wednesday evening. You know, it's a hot day, so we hope everybody's week is going through pretty good, and you're getting ready to move on into this Memorial Day holiday. And have you a good weekend. Dad, I'm gonna open the floor up to my co-host T. What you got for him today, T?
What's going on?
That's about it. He ain't gonna get y'all no more, so don't even look for it. That's him. Come at later. You hold off in the beginning. With that, we'll move right into our in the know for the day, for today's show. Our first topic, dozens of high school students to graduation after community service camp. 47 students at a suburban Chicago school submitted documents showing they completed their community service hours with a Ford signature. Wow. So the school is not letting them. And the school name was Oak Hill Community School. So I guess the community service thing was like something a part of being
the curriculum,
yeah, the curriculum of the school.
How many students?
47. That's just the insight into the story. Now I'm going to give you the rest of it. The school's principal stated a student changed other students, no, I was right, excuse me again. A student charged other students for a forged signature from a local golf course.
Wow.
So, it's like me working at the outlet. I can sign off on your paperwork for community service hours.
I turn it into the school.
Right.
They find out you signed it. So now, what's the reason? They're saying they can't walk or they can't graduate?
No, they can't walk. They're not allowed to walk. It says the student who forged the signatures did complete his community service. He did hear. But as a result of the other actions, he received a 5-day suspension and was not allowed to walk at graduation. Despite concerns from parents, the school is not reconsidering the punishment.
I applaud the school.
Yeah. And come to find out, this is a crazy part before you go into it. How they caught on to it, two of the last couple people turned in their paperwork, and the signature was totally different. So they called the golf course to check, and the manager said he hadn't signed nobody. So what happened, basically some of the cats knew they was forging them and tried to forge theirs and pass it off with the rest of them.
I guess
so. So they had got away with it.
Yeah, I get it. I applaud the school in their action. Now, I don't think it's an offense big enough to stop them from graduating. But yeah, you shouldn't be able to attend the ceremony. You know what I mean? Because if I allow you to, that just sets you up for an understanding that you can go through life.
Right. Right. Exactly. And especially high school. I mean, you're a senior. You're going into adulthood now.
I mean, community service, though. How long were they? How many hours did they have to do?
It didn't say. But the crazy, like you said, it wasn't like it was that hard.
I mean, this is...
It's the easy out.
Oh, man. This is crazy. But we say it all the time, that microwave. We want the most with the least amount of effort. That's where we are.
And then you think about it, like from the standpoint, like these students, right? Even though they thought they was just doing something to get them over, look at what they took away from their parents.
Yeah. They don't realize what they're taking away from their
parents. No, really. They don't at all.
You don't get this opportunity ever again.
And we say this all the time. We can go back. High school is where it was at.
Oh, man.
It ain't like we said, nowhere else is high school.
This is the gratification of all your 13 years of school up to this point. This moment right here that you was going to walk into was that moment. I did it. Now you lose that over some stupid like community service. Come on, man.
Don't make a lot of sense. I mean, I thought it was something good to throw out there because, like you said, the school did do something to them.
Yeah.
And most schools probably wouldn't even say anything because they would have been embarrassed they got played.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it seemed like the school pretty much got it together. And we commend them for that. Second topic. Burger King is scrapping Have It Your Way slogan. Yeah, now check it out. Now. BK is dumping his 40-year-old Have It Your Way slogan in favor of the more personal Be Your Way.
That's perfect.
Be Your Way.
I like that. I like that. No, you can't have it your way. Nowhere but Burger King. And sometimes you can't have it your way at Burger King.
And that slogan has been so synonymous with that, that people are saying to what they
you
want.
Said, hey, man, look, you probably shouldn't go down. Oh, okay, well, have it your way.
Yeah.
No, you can't have it your way. Be your way. I like that.
It's 20-year-old slogan, and they caught on to it. It says, BK reported that people, right, and I quote, that people can and should live how it's okay not to be perfect. Self-expression is most important, and it's our differences that makes us individuals instead of people. I thought that was a great statement.
I love it. I'm telling you, I love everything about this one.
The whole perspective of it. Most people ain't gonna like it because they're so used to having it their way and they think that's what it is.
Yeah, and they want to have it their way.
Yeah.
No, Burger King changes.
Yeah.
They be in their way.
A senior vice president at BK said, have it your way, focus only on the purchase. The ability to customize a burger. By contrast, buy your way is about making a connection with a person's lifestyle.
So is it buy your way or be your way?
I'm sorry, be your way.
Be your way.
Be your way, okay. Yeah, be your way. I said buy your way, but it's be your way.
Either way, I like that. Leaving it up to the individual.
Yeah.
We're not going to make it easy for you.
This ain't about us no more.
See,
I put it in no hamburger.
In that last one?
They
should have got this first.
I would be very intrigued to know, like, who conceived, who was able to concept this and put it together that was automated?
And then make them buy it.
Yeah.
You had to come with a hell of a plan. But you can't deny it when you hear it.
Yeah,
You take the responsibility out from me. I'm not here to make you happy.
And look how transcendent that'll be over the years. If have it your way with that transcendent over 40 years, be your way from 40 years from now, and it enhances or it gives you a motivation.
Yeah.
More than anything else.
It's kind of like Nike.
Yeah. Just do it.
Just do it. Whatever it is.
Yeah. Just do it. That's true. I never thought about that with Nike though. I always like that just do it because it got like a hip clean kind of slang to it and it makes sense. Just do it.
Ain't no excuse.
Well, BK, big ups for that move. A lot of people may not like it, but you got two people on the side. Now we'll move to the other Hamburger Key or Hamburger Giant, we should say, because one of them will say they're the king over the other. McDonald's.
Okay, what we got?
New Happy Meal. Mascot, the McScary, in social media.
Hmm? Yeah.
Mickey D's says New Happy Mascot will bring fun and excitement to his children's meals. But social media contended the toothy red box shape character will have the opposite effect. I don't know if you've seen it yet. But I've seen it on live when I was looking it up. It's a box. It's a Happy Meal box.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a black, like, mouth, where the inside of the mouth, two eyes of the youngest teeth.
In the box.
In the box. And the smile. Twitter response Monday complained that the animated red Happy Meal box with its carnivorous black mouth and rows of large white teeth is scary and will bring children nightmares instead of joy. Yeah.
I'm trying to see this right now so I can.
Yeah. Check that out.
Okay. This is the box.
That's the box.
Minus the hands and feet, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I don't think that they on there. I hope not.
I don't understand how. Well, okay, we're talking about kids.
Yeah, and that mouth. Could be, and I don't know.
I keep saying, though, it does have a look to where it's kind of...
It's awkward. Not fun. It's not, you know, it's not jovial, I should say. It's more... It's
I got you.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to say. It's almost a dark comedy.
Yeah, it looks that way.
Yeah. And this is for kids now. Yeah, I really don't mess the Happy Meal up, because when the Happy Meal we got compared to the Happy Meal, they get kids now. Got 4 5 in it. You ever seen the box?
Yeah, the little box.
Yeah, old fries, a couple of apple slices, and milk.
They did that to be more health conscious. You know, we got a bunch of overweight people now. You know.
I agree with the health conscious thing, but I'm just overweight.
Yeah, yeah.
Even, I ain't going to go in on my dad. I'm going to leave him alone. Because I was going to go in on hamburgers, but I ain't going to do that. Some of the comments included on Twitter, this one was. It's the meal that eats you, end quote. This is what they're saying for the box. Then somebody said, quote, I didn't want to sleep tonight anyway. It's cool. End quote.
Think about giving this to a 3-year-old kid, though.
It's not appropriate.
No.
The more I look at it, the more I can see where you think it maybe. It almost looked like potato head.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it almost looked like.
But see, Potato Head is more cartoonish than this. I get the concept. I get what they tried to do. I just think they didn't do it well.
And then if you take that, like we're looking at it with the arms and legs, just that box, that's a whole different dynamic.
Yeah. It looks scary.
Yeah.
It looks scary. It's
like a clown in a box laughing at you or something.
Yeah, we know you don't do clowns.
No, at all. At all. So that was going over good with me.
Yeah. Because
coming in the house late at night and that's sitting on the counter, if I'm a distance, that's all you get with the light dim. Oh, yeah. That'll throw you off.
It will.
It'll throw you off.
And I would assume that it's going to stand out in the light.
Yeah.
I mean, in the dark. I mean, it's
like, yeah, because the white teeth on the black
eyes. You see the teeth. And, yeah, no.
That's what I'm telling you.
No.
Ain't so Burger King get one up. McDonald's, we ain't, yeah, we losing on this one. We're going to move on, McDonald's. We ain't going to kick on you too long. I'm on last topic. Like we always do, we like to, you know, close it out on a good note. Barbara Walters. Farewell to The View on Friday. After a journalism career spanning a half a century, 50 years, Barbara Walters retired from TV journalism, on May 16th. Ms. Walters began her national broadcasting career in 1961 as a reporter, writer, and panel member for NBC's Today's Show, before being promoted to the co-host in 1974. By 1976, ABC had snatched her up for its own news program. At ABC, she launched the Barbara Walters special, which we all know, and the 10 most fascinating people. Before, she did all this before becoming a co-host and a correspondent for ABC News 2020 in 1984. She had interviewed every U.S. president and first lady since Richard and Pat Nixon. I thought that was a great achievement. I mean,
testament to her work, man.
Barbara Walters has been around a long time. She's good at what she do.
How do you honor her accomplishments?
She said, she even said, I've seen some of the viewing, she was like, how do you walk away from this?
It's a good question.
Yeah, how do you, you know.
Most of my life has been spent here.
Yeah, the View she created. She handpicked. They said every host that had on the View, Barbara Walters handpicked. And it's worked. The View is what, the longest running, and it's nothing, it's a female show. I mean, that's it. That's all it's on. Of course, the producer is a male, but.
I don't know, man. I just say again, 50 years of doing anything.
It's a testament to, to doing it well and having success, because you ain't going to continue to do anything as long as you're not having success.
That shows a strong character.
So, Ms. Walters, we respect you. We wish you well in your retirement. Of course, I did read where she'd probably come back every now and then and do interviews. And we look forward to that. And hey, being that we're a part of radio now, I had talked to you. And we're going to continue to strive to make you proud for the road and the path you've paved for us. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
With that,
there it is.
Time to move into the title of the show. Get down to business. Today's show, after we came off the Matrix last week, breaking down the Matrix, we figured it was only right to revisit the Matrix in present time.
Yeah. I spent a little bit of time thinking about this one, coming into it, the way that I wanted to approach it, the significance of it, without sounding, or without bringing negativity, as we tend to harp on. First question is, do we believe the Matrix is relevant in 2014?
I do. I totally do. I believe if you don't know it's a Matrix, it's not necessarily... let me see how the word is, because I'm just like you now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to stay away from being too preachy. It's not necessarily, and it is a bad thing. It's not necessarily, it may be exactly like old boy said in the movie, ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
And it's not your, so much your fault, but the fact that it matters, it does. And then that it do exist, some things have to be put in place for it not to be so impactful on us all.
Well, in dealing with the Matrix, I think it's appropriate to give a brief overview of what the movie was about again, which is a computer system that you know, the world being a computer system that we all live in, and unbeknownst to us, unaware, we're all part of another agenda. Everything that we have come to know in this life is fake, not real. You know what I mean? It's all generated. It's all generated to keep you in bondage in your mind, basically. Like we went over spiritual context, and we went over intellectual context, we went over cinematic context last week. This week, topic number one was exposing the matrix as it pertains to 2014. And in doing that, I think we can go, you can start anywhere. I mean, because it's everywhere.
Yeah, nice.
And it's everything. Now, you made a point last week that the matrix is bipolar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We have our own personal matrix, and then you have the overall matrix.
Yeah.
So you first have to conquer the matrix personally before you can even begin to
understand
it on a broader level. I want to talk, me personally, I want to go directly into the broad level.
Right.
Because in understanding the broad, I think it brings you to the personal.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many aspects. There are so many avenues that you can go down. Government.
Yeah, definitely.
Being the entity that it is and being that is so impactful and so, what's the word I'm looking for? Like it's something you can't escape.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's a part of you.
Consumes you, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know if consumes is the right word, but go ahead.
We have been conditioned to believe that government works for us. We have been conditioned to believe that we somehow have a say-so, regardless of how minimal or how great, we have an impact on what happens in government.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree with it. I believe government is another society, another group that has just been put in front of us by those ruling people to make us believe
we have some kind of power.
We have some sort of say-so in our own lives for what happens on a daily. Your elections, your elected officials, your president. You know, whoever, anybody in government, yes, we do go to polls and we vote, and that gives us the idea, like you said, that we have some type of power. But at the end of the day, what does that all mean? If you ask who the most powerful person in the world is, who would you expect the answer to be?
You would expect to be the president for us, for the United States. Yeah, yeah.
If not the world, then the country.
Yeah.
Who's the most powerful person here? You would expect to be the president. Okay, so if that be true, why do they have such a hard time passing bills and passing laws and passing whatever they would, okay, because of Congress, right?
Right.
Okay, so why isn't Congress a position that's over
the president? The president, yeah.
Why doesn't it make sense? If the final decision, well, I shouldn't say final decision, if Congress has that much say-so, why do we put so much on the president?
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. And to, I guess, I'm not disagreeing with you, but the outsider would say, well, you have a vote to put people in Congress. Mm-hmm. My only issue with that is you can vote me in as the mayor. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you what I want you, what you want to hear while I'm campaigning. When I get in, I'm going to do exactly what my matrix tells me.
Yeah. Your personal matrix?
Or the matrix.
And your overall
matrix. Right. And in most cases, because we're talking on a broad area, that's the matrix controlling your personal matrix. You don't even know.
Yeah. We have different sense of government. You know what I mean? You have different departments of government. Then you have departments that are associated with government but do not fall. I found out, I don't know how true it is, somebody told me IRS is not really part of the government.
I don't know about IRS. I know the CIA, I think it is, doesn't fall under the government. They kind of, they own entity. I'm not sure the IRS could be the same way because a lot of it, we just assume it's all the government.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it's on a broad level again because the matrix wants you to see everything broad.
Yeah. I thought about this thing. And I'm trying to find the correct way to attack it. The way that I think about it. I'm slipping right now. I'm trying to catch myself. It comes back to individualism. And we just talked about Burger King. And why that was impactful to me was because nobody really is stressing an individual.
It's true.
It's all about having one unified mind, one unified idealism, one unified culture. Everything should be uniform. And if you think differently than the masses out there, then you're titled strange or different or crazy or whatever the case may be. We used to have a class in school. I want to say it was elementary, might have been middle school. Called critical thinking.
Yeah. I can't remember if that was middle or high school.
Do they still have that class?
College.
It's in college.
I know. I took it in college. I don't know if it's still in high school. I don't think so because I didn't see, you know, Robert, he has critical thinking, but it's a college course. So. Mm-hmm.
See, they shaped us to think from what I understood the class to be. It was you take a set of facts or truths.
Right.
Variables. With no one answer. There's no one answer, but the correct answer is one that you come up with through your thought process. I don't hear nobody taking a class like that right now. No one.
No.
Because
no.
The idea is no more to think for yourself. There's no more to think outside the box. It's just go along with the flow. Why would you search for something other than what has been presented to you through media or word of mouth or whatever else? Why would you go to the point of trying to think outside of that? Let's bring this this way. We ended the show last week and we had a caller who called in there and he had a couple of questions. And he made a statement that he believed that there is a matrix and that that matrix is run by a certain group of people. Not knowing who those people were, he believed that it was...
International bankers?
Yeah.
You want back the money. Want back the money.
So that got me thinking. And I found, through a little bit of research, and I already knew it, but I didn't know to the extent.
Man.
You heard of Rockefeller?
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure you've heard of Rothschild.
Yeah.
They're the two wealthiest families, from what I understand through my research in the world. Dynasties, empires, whatever you want to call them. Put this in perspective. Rothschild family is worth at least, because they don't know.
Right.
At least $350
billion. Billion?
Billion. Rockefeller is worth at least $340 billion. That's just two families, dynasties, empires, whatever you want to call them. Together, that totals $690
billion.
Estimate. That's from what you can count. We don't know.
We don't really know what it was.
We don't. Put that in perspective. I went to four of this. And when you add up the top 10 people,
they don't
list.
Even hit a billion, do it.
Oh, yeah, they hit it. I mean, Bill Gates is worth 77, dude.
For real?
77. But 10 people on the list total 577, dude. So those two families outweigh the top 10 wealthiest people in the world. Those two families did a deal, I think, last year. They joined together. They're both banking or whatever the case may be.
Right.
They just did a joint union to where one of them bought 37% stake in the other's company or whatever. Anyway, it's a joint venture to where they put their...
Well, it's combined pretty much.
Right. If these are the two wealthiest empires, dynasties, families in the world, and they have now joined together, and we know that they outweigh top 10. Now, this is in America.
Right.
I don't know about it anywhere. I guess this is in America. Is Forbes list worldwide?
I think it can be worldwide.
Okay, well, then this must be worldwide. Either way.
Yeah, because it'd be like Russian. And overseas guys on the big time. Yeah, so it is.
Their worth, their estimated worth, like I said, outweighs top 10 on Forbes list. And then when you put those two together, what can you stop them from doing?
Absolutely nothing.
They are above them. They are above anything. I mean, because they control
the world,
all the resources.
Yeah,
they control everything. So we hear words thrown out like Illuminati and
right,
you know, all these secret societies, all this and all that, and you know, it sounds far fetched, but at the end of the day, if Derek and Corey control enough real estate.
Yeah.
To where we can build whatever we wanted in Hillsborough, Manatee County.
Yeah.
We control all the real estate there. Basically, anything that goes on real estate wise,
yeah,
would have to pass through us. And if you're not doing what we want you to do,
you're not doing it.
You're not getting it.
Yeah.
Regardless of who you know, how you know, and whatever, this belongs to me. So you can't, you're not getting this unless I get it.
That's true.
You take that same mentality and put it across the world. Why can't they run the world? Why is this so far-fetched?
Yeah. When we know our world is built off of the economy.
That's it. That's what controls everything. So if they control all the money and resources, what makes me think that they can't control the world?
I can't find a legitimate reason to go against it. And being that I can't disagree with what you're saying. I didn't know that. I mean, I always knew they had money, but I was on the level that they had more money than the world.
Yeah.
Like when you said billion, that's why I was like, billion?
Yeah.
And you didn't say 100, which is crazy to even hit 100 billion. You said 600 billion, almost 625 billion a piece.
Between two families.
Now they combine together, which makes sense. Because if I have split power,
uh-huh,
and you have the other split, uh-huh, why not work with you? Because you ain't going to never give me what I... If I don't work with you, I'm going to still be fighting against you.
Right.
So let's come together and do this together.
Because it's just me and you. Me and you control everything.
Ain't like we got to compete against nobody else, and now I ain't got to compete against you no more.
So now, what you want to do?
Right. What you want to do? Because this is what I want to do.
Okay, I agree with that. We gonna do this for you.
Right.
I went off into the possibility. I want to read a statement if I can.
Yeah.
And this is what it says. It says some even believe we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interest of the United States. Characterizing my family and me as internationalists and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty and I'm proud of it. That came directly from the memoirs of David Rockefeller.
Wow.
One of these same people we're talking about. So this man can say to you,
exactly what you're telling him.
They say, I want to do this, and I want to control the world, I want to make everything work. That's what they charge me with. And you know what? If they do, I'm guilty.
Yeah. And
what you gonna
thanks
do?
For that compliment.
Yeah. Now that you know,
yeah.
What you gonna do?
Absolutely. It's, to even come back and say that on top of it and not try to deny it means you know you're in a position where ain't nothing you can do if I don't deny it.
It's a sad reality, but it's a reality that we live in. So how all that pertains into exposing the matrix, could we possibly be living in a world where there are certain people who have an agenda and who will use resources and will use government and who will use whatever they have at their exposure to keep us in a certain position to help them achieve that?
Yeah.
He just told you.
If you did know, he answered it for you by saying, repeating the question that you may have had. Then he said to you, yes. I stand accused.
And I said it out loud, but now I just joined. This came again from Rockefeller. Now I joined with Rothschild. Now we both together.
Right.
You think we ain't got the same agenda?
Okay. Because I'm not going to go along with you. The truth of the matter is, no matter how much I may need the power of me and you coming together, I don't know what you're doing. I'm not going to come with you. I'll fight you to the end because this is power. You're the only other option I got.
Crazy.
And the world is big enough for us to both do our own thing.
Yeah. It's our world.
They agree. They totally agree for them to work together.
And anybody who don't get that.
Don't get the matrix.
That's why I can't talk to you about the matrix.
Yeah, we don't get the matrix. If you don't get the understanding of that, you don't get the broad general matrix. So there's no way for you to find that personal matrix.
Again, these same people have been accused of manipulating governments and starting wars. They run the banking industry, so they're in control of all the money. Anything negative and bad that goes on that affects mass amount of people across the world, but then it brings us to the question, what can you do? If that be the case, they have everything. They'll stand in front of you and tell you, yeah, I will one world.
Yeah.
I want a one world government. I want a one world military. I want a one world everything because I will be in control of the world.
Yeah. The whole point of one world is for it to be my world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I run the world.
And you know what? Now that you said, I'm thinking about the statement dude made. That's a hell of a statement, man.
It's from his memoirs, page 4 or 5. Check it out.
Boy, what you got on that, man? That's a hell of a statement.
And ballsy, definitely. What up, world? Your boy Bone. Tardy, but here. Sitting back, soaking in everything you just said, homeboy. Try to put at a scale the insignificancy of, if that's a word, and I don't know, I might have just made up my first word. How much we don't mean a thing. In the broad picture, you know, we would be considered casualties of war.
Yeah.
You know, in the broad picture of that goal of conquering the world, we are nothing. So I was listening to y'all talk about, you know, how if you ask the average person, you know, who's the most powerful person on earth, they most people,
yeah,
I would think maybe prior to Obama and the struggle he's going through now as president, that, you know, we all are seeing. Prior to that, I think we all thought the president was the most powerful person.
You didn't know Congress had that much power.
Right, in the world. Really, that kind of, this president has really shown me how much power Congress has. And if they really wanted to make it difficult for the president, for America, they really can. They are showing that. $600-some billion?
Yeah.
No,
No,
that's together, right?
Together.
300 something. Either way, multiple hundreds of billions of dollars.
Billions
of dollars I have control of.
I didn't even know what a billion was about 10 years ago. Did y'all? I always knew a million. I didn't know a billion even existed. I thought somebody was playing when they said billion.
Now, the word I thought, trillion, I thought that was just a made-up word.
So I think it is.
A deficit. Look at the deficit.
Oh, the debt.
We're in trillions as far as the deficit is concerned. And even on that, okay, so these two families that, you know, I think they're American families.
Mm-hmm.
No.
The Rothschilds are European.
Okay.
They all came here.
Rockefeller is American.
Rockefeller is not American, but Rothschild. Are they immigrants? Did they immigrate to America, Rothschilds, or?
It just says American-based. So I guess if I understand correctly, Europeans are what came and settled in America, mm-hmm. what made America America. So,
they came out of trade back to
Europe, but their family roots are established in America. They are one of the originals.
You know, I guess what I was trying to say is, basically, they could end all problems in the world.
They could end hunger.
They could end serious illnesses like
we
cancer.
Never
have
a debt.
You know, right, exactly. The deficit could be wiped clean, you could say, almost. But they won't do it simply because it does not fit their agenda. That goes against what they want. If we fix these issues, then there's still individualism.
Yeah.
But if we allow these problems to exist, eventually we can use those to our best interest and just bring everybody into the fold.
Let me ask you a question. Logically speaking, I know you don't like logic, but we're going to do it. Why would I be interested in fixing a problem
that
I'm not concerned with?
Or that I call
And either, even go a little farther, why would I fix a problem that I spent money creating?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. For them, it's not a problem. It's their agenda.
You're part of their agenda.
It's their agenda.
If you're thinking about, you know, our caller last week, and, you know, he said, you know, ideally, the ideal population of the world was like 500,000 or something?
I don't remember him saying.
I don't remember the exact number.
Yeah, it was big.
You know, but compared to billions of people now, you know, ideally, they want to cut that number down so they can make one unified planet,
yeah.
One unified government, one unified healthcare, one unified everything. I mean, the ideal of it sounds good to me.
The ideal of what?
Of one unified everything. I think it would simplify a lot of things. But I'm sure there were people who thought, you know, Hitler had a good idea too. You know what I'm saying? Let's make one just a pure race. That'll make everything a lot easier. Everything will go a lot smoother. But the things that you would have to sacrifice in order to have that, I don't think it's worth it. The freedoms that you would have to give up.
When I think about a one world system, whether it be a one world military or a one world government or a one world anything, anytime you have one of anything, that's a problem. There is no alternative. So it's either you do it this way or you don't. Those are the options. You no longer are an individual because there's one.
Right, but I understand that. But then think of the people who, okay, so there's one, so then there's absolutely no need for war. War does not exist. Well, I'm going to take war on myself if it's only one.
Well, I don't think of it myself.
No, you don't. I mean, this is the idea. The idea of one unified nation.
Yeah. The only reason I'm scared of going against the one implication is because there's only one God. And either you do it his way or you suck. So I get that. But that goes back to only being one God. Rockefeller ain't God.
Right.
That's why.
Rothschild ain't God. Right. So when you fall under the status of, when you get out of the religion base of it, it can't be one. We have to individually understand for ourselves. I said this in the book. Standardization of reality is the matrix. Because it standardizes what everybody thinks you should think, so you lose your individuality. If I'm an individual, why shouldn't I control my individualism? It makes no sense to me. I can still understand the broad matrix and understand myself, but what you're trying to tell me is there's no more, it's no me.
Yeah.
I don't exist. It's what I'm telling you exists. And that's where the problem comes.
It becomes a business model.
Yeah.
Okay. An employer wants all their employees to follow the same set of rules.
Right.
The same set of rules apply for you, that applies for the next person, that applies for the next person. And like you said, that takes away that individualism.
Mm-hmm.
For them, it's a good thing.
It works for their benefit
as far as the business is concerned. So as a business, it makes sense for Rockefeller and Rothschild to want to have that business model
mm-hmm.
set up their business. Because basically to them, that's what it is. It's power, control.
Mm-hmm. That's what business they.
That's their business.
Yeah, you can't even say they're in the money business because money don't even matter to them.
They're in the power business.
In the power business.
And that's why it's a problem.
Yeah.
Because all power belongs to
God. Yeah.
Not you.
Yeah.
No matter what you do, you will never be all powerful.
Yeah.
So, let's go back. I'm trying to stay on this matrix ideal topic. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back a couple of years when this whole war on terror stuff started.
Right.
Now, before that, America was comfortable. There was no need to worry about getting on the airplane other than the occasional plane crash.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You had a couple hijacks here and there. But you wasn't concerned with people of other nationalities jumping on the plane and taking the plane hostage, flying a plane in the buildings, and now planes disappearing out of
We
weren't worried about all that. We wasn't worried about people blowing up anything. What our mass people are. You wasn't worried about the stuff that you're worried about now.
Yeah.
We went, when all of this was introduced, it created Mossad. And those were the people who didn't like America, the terrorists.
Right.
And the heads of their terrorist cells and all this stuff they feed us. You know what I'm saying? Like, again, let's go back to critical thinking. If these people really didn't like America that much and they really wanted to do that much harm to America, why not? Why it ain't been that?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Because it ain't like they couldn't do it before. Technology just got better.
Right. Any time to do it is to do it before we can detect it.
Yeah.
And now that technology has gotten better, how couldn't you detect it?
Yeah. Yeah, that almost slaps you in the face because we say that all the time. You know, even when you point out with the towers, it's like, how can you didn't locate these two planes coming back to back, but you caught the ones coming to the White House, and supposedly the one going to the Pentagon, the passengers knocked it out.
So you are in the sociology?
Social work.
It deals with the mind.
Yeah.
If you want to gain control over a situation or another being or whatever, what's one of the most powerful weapons you can use to do
that? Yourself. You, the person's mind.
How do you gain any type of control? I mean, what weapons do you use?
Well, the first thing, the most important thing in trying to get into anybody is building a rapport with them.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make them feel comfortable with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because if a person's not comfortable with you, they're probably not going to share anything. Once they're comfortable, then they start to share. Well, all I need to do is know.
Okay.
Once I know, I can use that against you. To help you, which is my job, that's what I should be doing. But if I'm doing the opposite, I can use it against you to benefit me, which is not helping.
Where I was going with that is fear.
Ooh.
Fear is a powerful tool. when, put it this way, when you in a scary movie with your old lady, that scary part happening, it scares her, what's the first thing she do?
Jump on you?
Yeah.
She
grab on the
yeah.
You put yourself in a fearful situation. First thing you do,
I get mad at her because she scared me. Hey, I'm already scared.
I'm gonna run for cover.
Yeah.
If it's something that, well, the initial reaction is to regroup.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You gotta wait.
You don't embrace her.
What impact would it have on the world if there was an event or a series of events that happened that invoked a major fear?
Yeah.
To where people no longer felt independent. To where people felt they were faced with something that they couldn't stand up to. They couldn't, they had no weapon
to fight, yeah.
To combat.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing I have is you. Whether you being the government or you being whatever it is, you are my guy because I can't fight. I read somewhere that, and I think it was, see, this statement was Rockefeller. I think Rothschild said this one. And it was something to the extent of, in order to achieve the goal, we have to have a couple events that evoke fear. We're already, I'm not going to say we're, they are already, there is a system of people that are already and have been for a long time. You remember Manchurian Candidate? You seen that movie?
Yeah.
You know that was real?
Yeah, it was based on real.
I didn't know that was real. That's how ignorant I am. But
which
I
one you seen? Because it's two, you know.
I
the one with
Denzel. I've seen the new one. I know that's an older one, too. But
they
were based on actual events that happened in China, was it? Or one of them countries?
It was one of the foreign countries.
The government has been involved in mind control experiments.
Yeah.
Dating back to way long time ago. That Manchurian thing, like when I was reading this, and I'm like, this is real?
Yeah.
Like the event never happened, but the effect that you had on these people's minds made them believe that they were somewhere that they weren't.
Yeah.
And that things happened that didn't. So you can control a human's mind like that.
I always say, man, the army, the military, I'm not going to specify. But the military is the biggest gang or cult in the world. Because for 9 weeks, I was brainwashed to see things one way. After those 9 weeks, I was trained in an occupation to learn a certain trade to do and carry out the way I thought from that point on. In that world, everybody thought that same way. So that one that you speak of, it does exist in the military.
Yeah.
Now, to that point, it works. Like Bone said, because everybody on the same court, you have some people that go against it, but it does work. But the truth of the matter is, once it's in place, I'm not an individual. Because now once you put me out, once I come out of the military and I'm put back into this matrix that is different from that matrix I was in, how do I do it in a totally different way?
Wait, okay, I hear you say it works, and I get why you're saying it works, because when Americans go to war, they go to war.
Right.
You know what I mean? But as a soldier, if you tell me, I've never been a soldier, but I'm
right.
Putting myself there. You tell me that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction.
Right.
And we are going there to fight him. Okay. I don't have a choice. I have to go.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I'm not allowed to intellectualize this in my mind. I'm just called to do a duty and I just gotta go.
Yeah.
From the outside, we go into that war, we stay over there for years, we tear up countries, and we spend a lot of money, we lose a lot of lives, we do all of this, we do all that, and never find a way.
Yeah.
Okay. You tell me that Osama bin Laden is the orchestrator of terrorism. He's the terrorist cell. He's the leader of the group. He's this, he's that, boom, 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 boom. Okay, so then we go to Afghanistan. We get in these wars and we do this and we fight over here and we be over here for years, a lot of money, a lot of lives, a lot of this, a lot of that. You finally get Osama bin Laden. Okay, boom. So now why are we still talking about terror?
Yeah.
If you
that
got,
was them two, it was bin Laden and Saddam. Both of them was knocked out.
Now, why is terror still on our radar? Why are we still at? Oh, because they trained people under them to, oh, you didn't know that before we went over there to get them?
Yeah. That's not what you said.
No, you knew when you this is going to be a lifetime thing. You knew this was going to be
yeah.
ongoing. We didn't think that way. Okay, once we get there, then we good. No. Maybe it was never what they told us it was in the beginning.
I believe that.
Iraq is the biggest source of what?
Oil
is worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
People, you know, it's a resource that people die over.
Yeah.
Honestly, we've seen that. So, okay, maybe we put a front, the weapons of mass destruction, we put that as the face of the war, but we know secretly, we know why we're going over it. Okay? I give you that. That could make sense. You could have been telling the truth or you could have been lying. It can go to Osama bin Laden country. Big producers of what?
That I know of nothing. Do they do something?
Poppy.
Poppy. I didn't know that.
You didn't know the poppy field over there? The poppy field don't get burned.
I ain't going to Afghanistan, man.
Yeah, okay. But you know somebody who's dead.
Sure. Yeah.
Now, I'm just saying. I'm just thinking outside the box.
You know what, though? Yes, you're right. That's true. That is true.
I'm thinking outside the box.
That is true.
Poppy goes into opium and it's used for a lot of other things, but there's a lot of money in that. There's a huge amount of money in that, and I'm pretty sure there's some other things over there that country is rich in that I don't even know about. The dude, I don't know his name. When we just went to war with him, we just killed him. I didn't say went to war. We just killed him not too long ago. The quote unquote dictator over in Libya.
His name Muhammad.
I don't know his name, but anyway, we were able to, at least what the news said is because of how he was treating the people of Libya.
Yeah.
And America stepped in to basically stand up for those people against how they were being treated.
Yeah.
What the hell? Who's gonna do something over here in America about how they do over here?
Hey, all these situations, if you come back and look at them. Besides Osama bin Laden, who we know, of course, was not the main objective. Because if you're telling me Osama bin Laden did the towers and all that, right? Mm-hmm. Why are we in Iraq? Well, you say this is where the main base of his people is at.
Tell me one place America has ever gone and left. One place America has ever gone and fought and left and not build a base, a state. One place. You know what Libya was rich in? Gold. They were the biggest, they occupied most of the gold in the world. Libya. You know how much gold worth right now?
Yeah.
You know how much America, how much gold America claimed to have before he was killed off? Look.
How much we
got? It was a small percentage of the gold in the world.
That's why gold went up so high, right?
Nah, we got all his. Because he's dead. Who's been running that over there? America killed him, so who's going to come take over?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just thinking outside the box. Like, all of this is some mighty strong coincidences. And for two people to, and one of them to tell you outright what his plan is, for them to go in the cahoots and now they're trying to run the world and all this, now, it makes sense that there would be some agendas and it would make sense that there would be some secret groups, and it would make sense that the government would do the things they do, and it would make sense that, you know, the reports on the Illuminati are what they are, whether they exist or they don't, who cares? At the end of the day, we know Satan exists.
Right.
And we know that this world belongs to him. Until the day is coming.
When he returns.
Exactly. So why would you not believe anything that your mind can take you to?
Right.
At least open your mind up to the idea. If we believe everything that we fed, We in a sad place.
Yeah. You're standardized. You've been standardized inside a reality that's not your own. And it's, and to your point, the agenda is being laid.
Yeah.
You just laid it out for us. You exposed the depression.
I understand it.
Right, but I'm just saying, what you were saying, I can't sit here and go against.
Because
it makes total sense. So if that's the point, if that's the point you're trying to make, then you have a valid point. I mean, I can't go against the bone. You, can you?
No, like you said, you know, if it's possible. It's highly possible.
Highly?
To be
highly possible.
I mean, to think that it's not possible would be a little naive of us, I believe. I'm learning right now, so I'm gonna keep quiet. I won't even some more.
And you know what, too? It's like even when Bone broke it down to a business, you have the big overall major, but you have so many other, which we could say Rockefeller and Rothschild is in control of, other matrices. I hope I said that.
Right? I got you.
Put in place that feeds off the big matrix.
Yes. In this world,
the army, businesses, corporate, big fortune companies, all these corporations and stuff that make the world go round. I said the military is a matrix that's put in place to make your mind think one way.
Don't think for 1 second that thought with them too.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But it's bigger than that.
But by them being the most powerful.
Right.
If you don't join us, then we just going to go to war with you.
Yeah.
Who going to win? Who going to outlast who? That's what we come down to.
Somebody asked me one time. I don't know if it was one of my kids. But they was like, when the whole thing was going on with Russia. And they was like, why won't Russia just attack America? And I was like, the understanding for the world of America is totally different from us in America. So much so that we don't bought into it. Most people in America think we can't be beat. But we already beat because we done spread ourselves so thin that if anybody ever got an inkling, how you going to be all them trillions of dollars in debt and be powerful?
Right.
But just because of the slogan, quote unquote, America the Great, everybody's scared of it.
So you've been taught to believe.
Right. Yeah, right. And then you believe in it so much. When 9/11 happens, now you're looking like, oh, how did this happen?
That bullet got slapped.
Yeah.
Ain't no bullet no more.
Yeah. But in knowing that, we can also say, was that orchestrated to put us in check?
Wake up.
You know what I mean? It's like there's so much going on. If you ain't in touch with your own self and you caught up in it, you'll never find yourself.
You don't exist.
You don't. You just
you
like
are
said,
in the matrix.
In the matrix.
You don't exist.
You don't exist at all.
You don't exist to them.
And then like Bone said, you're a casualty of war. If you do exist, so what? You can't win.
Man. Let me tell you how deep this mind control thing goes. To me, Corey. This is just Corey speaking. Again. Now, we went and how they use it in military and how they use it in war and all of that. We talk about it all the time on a broad level. Like, we did the show on The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about music. We talk about what's reported in the news. We talk about that on a broad level. But let's narrow this thing down. Two people who live in this country, they can be prominent people. Let's just use two rappers, for example.
Okay.
Perfect example. Two rappers can wage war on each other. One on one side of the country, one on the other side of the country. Over whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And have a whole half a nation choose one side and half a nation choose another side. And wage war on each other based on the idea that these two people don't like each other.
Yeah.
These two people are beefing over something that will never, ever belong to them.
Mm-hmm.
Turf, whatever. And you can narrow it down to games. Games, we fight over the same thing. We fight over this block. We fight over this street. This ain't your street.
Yeah.
You never own this. Why are you killing somebody that look like you over something that don't belong to you?
And you'll never have.
It'll never belong to you. That's the control. That's how powerful. If I can keep, again, if I can keep y'all beefing amongst each other and concerned with each other, you never pay attention to the what's important.
Yeah.
You never pay attention to that.
Yeah, and that's it. It's true. That's really true. And then when you were saying, I'm thinking about Biggie and Pop, because the East Coast didn't like the West Coast. And if you liked it, Biggie, you didn't like Pop.
You couldn't. It's impossible.
You couldn't even say it to me. If you say, oh, yeah, Biggie Jimmy, but Pop, my boy, dog, you can't like Pop and Biggie. That's what I'm going to tell you.
And all this time, we got these people sitting above us watching this. In this box that we sitting there fighting over, acting stupid in this box, they didn't close the lid on this box.
Because
they self-contained.
Yeah.
We good. Now let's pay attention to what else is going on over here, how we, what we really trying to do, and how we going to use them
to help us do it.
To help us do that. When they get done with that, we're going to use them to help us do that. It's stupid. It's stupid, but at the same time, it's like, how do you escape? And I don't know if we ever transition to into one of our other topics.
Understanding the agenda?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, we did.
I mean, that's broad, though.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I just try to think.
Yeah.
And when thinking about that, it brings the question like I asked you when we first started, like, okay, what do I do? If all of this be true, and all of these people have the power they have, and they have the agendas they have, I'm stuck in this country. I'm forced to be a puppet. Well, but am I? No, not necessarily. The only reason they can have control over me is if I want what they got.
Yeah.
If I don't want what they got, then what you do don't affect me.
Nope.
I don't care about what you're doing because what you got ain't for me. Oh. You know what I heard? The love of money is the root of all this. If I ain't so concerned with money and fame and prowess and the American dream, and we talk about being sleep, why would you call it an American dream?
Yeah.
You trying to achieve something in your sleep. You want a house, you want a nice house, you want a car, you want a marriage, you want a nice bank account, you want, but you still sleep.
Like Neil.
You got all that. You got the American dream, and we're going to let you have it because you still don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, I feel as long as if the dream says American, it's not. It needs to say Derek dream.
No. Derek needs to establish his dream.
Yeah, but that's
they
what
can give you your
but dream. What I'm saying, if it says Derek dream,
right,
then it's
right,
my
right.
dream. You
yeah.
know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Like, no, not them giving it to. The only way I'm gonna get Derek's dream is to step out of the American dream.
Got to.
And to do that, like you say, to live in the matrix, you have to understand it exists. And if you don't, you win.
Either or.
Yeah.
It's one way or the other. And no matter how you, I tried to break this down as simple as I could in my mind. Like, okay, so it's either I'm all on one side or I'm all on the other side. I can't be a part of this and a part of that. It's either I'm going to choose to go along with, if all of this be real, then the matrix exists and all these agendas are out there and these people obviously are doing what they say they're doing.
You know, I mean, they told you.
It's either A, I accept that and I live according to that thing, or B, I reject that totally and I live according to somebody else's will.
Yeah.
I would ask somebody else.
God. And there ain't no doubt about that. Ain't no doubt about that. And then if we say the world is Satan's, which is but, if we say the world is his, the only alternative to going another route is with God. So if you're not going to be of the world, you need to be with God. You can be with God and be in the world. You can't. It's possible because we were born in.
You told
me this. You told me this the other day. We were born into this.
Be in it.
Yeah.
But not
of
it.
Yeah.
So in that sense, can we be in the matrix and not of the matrix?
Yeah.
You have no choice but to be in it.
Yeah.
You're here.
The whole goal is to be in it and not of it.
Yeah.
But realizing that.
You're in it.
Yeah. it becomes the issue.
Neo couldn't defeat it until he went in it. He couldn't defeat it outside of it.
Even though he might have knew. He had an inkling to it. That's why he was gone. And listen.
He had to totally give up.
It ain't no halfway, no in between.
Ain't none of that.
And he was put on the spot. And he was wise enough to say, I'm warning you.
Now, my question is, and I know that I don't want to harp on church.
Right.
I don't want to sound like I'm beating up church. But these people and their money influence everything.
Yeah, even religion, yeah.
Church in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You influence that, too. So, now, how do I escape that?
Yeah.
Because I got to go to church, right?
You know, it was, I'm going to come back to that, but it was a point that was made. The guy, I call it a last show, he said Caesar, all these dictators and how Caesar and all of them failed because they wanted to be God. I think he said only God.
Yeah, only God.
And he said, Caesar tried to change religion, told it to the way he wanted to be. He went against the Roman church. Now, up until the time Caesar came along, the Roman religion ruled the world.
Right.
The basis of religion ruled the world.
Right.
When he came along as the king or whatever Caesar was at that time, he wanted to change things to suit him.
Mm-hmm.
I.e. the Rockefellers or whatever. He was in a position of a power where he could do that. He did. That's where you get the separation of now of this saying of government and church.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the beginning, it wasn't no if church. Church was it. So that was the first implement of that. You know what I'm saying? And then, like you said, with religion, it almost comes back to the military. When you got one person or one divine standardized reality, and you want me to go in that way, and I can't be myself and still understand, here we go again with one.
To me, it goes back to what you were saying earlier, homeboy, about fear.
Okay. Yeah.
The thought that there is a group of people or whatever that are in search of power, in search of control, what's the best way of gaining that? That's fear.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
it was the church at one point. Okay, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, even look at slavery. Look at slavery, okay, and the way that they use religion to break us. They took ours away from us. When I say ours, I'm sorry, I'm talking about our descendants from Africa, you know, or wherever they came from. You know, our descendants. They use religion to break our will, to conform us to work for them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. On another scale, let's put 9/11. All right. We living in a dream world. The American dream.
Right.
We living in a dream world. Well, ain't nobody ain't gonna touch us. We
right.
Don't worry about that. You know, we the bullies of the world. If you will, a lot of people say, okay, well, bam. Well, you know, now it's getting to me individually.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Not only is America a badass, I'm a badass.
Yeah.
I'm such a badass. I go against America.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hold on. I can't afford to have you think that way.
No.
So, one plane, two plane, let's shoot these other customers down. What the hell just happened?
Mm-hmm.
We just got attacked
mm-hmm.
on our land? Hold on. That scares me. Let me run back and grab my government. What we gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
I need you now. I need you, government, to help me. Because
mm-hmm.
this is bigger than me, like you were saying. This is bigger than me now. I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna run and grab daddy leg.
Yeah.
That's what daddy wants. Go back and run and grab his leg. So, okay, now you need me. And for me to give you what you need, this is what I need you to do. I don't necessarily have to tell you what I need you to do. I'm going to lay it in front of you, and you're going to gladly do it because
you're vulnerable.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So it makes sense if you have sense. I'm sorry. It's scary. It should be scary because it shows you how vulnerable we are individually and in the big picture, how we don't mean nothing to them.
Yes,
we mean absolutely nothing to them. We are just a means of them obtaining what it is that they want and whatever, their goal, their agenda.
And you know what's crazy?
Ricchetti.
Oh, it flashed in my mind, this thing you were saying. You know what's crazy about that? You were here, like you were saying the other day, God's not in the punishment here. But you hear people say more that God is doing them wrong. Then you hear them saying the government is doing them wrong.
Because they don't believe
that. It really, we bought into, and I say we, because at some point I have to, bought into, this is our government.
Yeah.
This ain't not mine.
No.
This is not none of my government. It wasn't even put in place for me.
No.
It was never even thought of for me. It was thought of for whoever put it in place for whatever agenda they had.
So you know what I did? Because I knew you was waking up to that fight a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I did? I let one of you stand out front. Maybe you'll accept him.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll accept government again. I don't know. Maybe a little far-fetched.
Yeah.
But that's how my mind works. Oh, okay. So he's a puppet too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's how you doing. You make it look better. You give me something I can accept. You make give me something I can agree with. Because truth, please believe this, they didn't want this man to be in office
he
right now.
Be.
He would not be,
he would be
in office right now. Think about the president that's been killed in office. And it's all because, and you ain't even got to go president. Look at the entertainers. I go to Bob Marley. Look at some of the entertainers, actors, musicians, activists, any person with a platform to speak that can reach masses. They spoke truth.
Yeah.
They ain't here no more.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're going against my belief.
Yeah.
That ain't why I gave you a platform. I didn't allow you to have that platform to do this. You were supposed to do it, but do it in a way to where you kept your mouth off of me.
Yeah. And to a certain extent, I believe the president, President Obama, went in the White House with that understanding that he's going to change. And they seen that. And they was like, oh, no.
No, 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 no.
You were just supposed to be a figurehead.
Speak against me and you won't like
it. Yeah, this is not going to work. We, like you said, bro, we've never seen or known the government had so much power until President Obama became president because he fought everything he did. Everything. Now, what is the purpose of that? Why don't you put in place to help him? I.e., Adam and Eve.
You had a Democratic Congress.
Yes.
Still couldn't get it done.
Still couldn't get it done.
Well, I tell you, Congress ain't got as much power as we get them either.
Well, it did happen that I can't say in this instance. God still reigns. Because it exposed the system.
Mm-hmm.
It exposed the system. Mm-hmm. If we didn't see anything else, what we did see in this instance was, you might give us what you want, but when it seems like it's going too far to what we really need, you're going to take that back.
You're going to take it back.
You're going to take that back. And it's like you said, it's them chastising us, the powers that may be, when I say them, chastising us, i.e. the towers. Okay? You done got too complacent. You think you're bigger than me. We bring you down. Oh, that don't work. Okay, so now you're mad at me. I'll give you what you want. Here go your president. But he's going to have to do what I say. Because if not, I can't have that. It backfired.
No, you were talking about what do we do. Okay, we know we're awake. We know there's a matrix. We know that there's a bigger picture. What do we do? For me,
for you.
For me, you know, I might want to run and grab my rifle and go running down, you know, mm-hmm. D.C. and, you know, start a revolution. But to be smart about it, I mean, let's think about Obama's choices. What were his choices once he realized that these people were going to fight him every step of the way? He could continue to resist mm-hmm. and get nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Or be out of here.
Or, I don't want to say sell out, but a lot of people will say sell out. I'm going to say give in.
Yeah. Play his role.
And play his role, okay? So what do? Okay, we see that electing a president that we think has our best interest in hand didn't work. And that Congress basically fought him up. So now that tells me that we have to get more involved, as much as I hate to say it, because I don't really agree with government, and I don't want to get involved in it. And I'm one of them people that for a lot of years did not vote. I'll be honest with you. But now I see the importance of it. Yeah. Down to the even to the level of congressmen and commissioners, we have to get that deep. We have to get that involved into government in order to evoke any kind of change. Obviously, getting the president in didn't work.
No.
That alone does not work. So we got to get the president. We got to get our representatives. We got to get the people that agree or have the same agenda we have as people in these places of power in order to make that change. If not, they're going to continue to rule.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
And again, I'm just speaking from understanding the court. No election that we participate in is going to make that difference. Why? Because these people operate under a different set of rules. They operate under the rule of power. And once power is what you seek, you don't stop until you get it. You got everything else.
Then once you get it, you have to maintain it.
It's a
you don't know nothing without it. Yeah, you don't know nothing without it.
So you were saying something a minute ago. You were like, you know, when the towers hit, and you were summarizing what you thought I said. And, you know, you ran back and you grabbed daddy leg, and that's what we did.
Yeah.
Problem being, we grabbed the wrong daddy.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's it.
We grabbed the wrong daddy.
That's it.
That was never daddy in the first place. That's who did it.
Huh.
All you did was what he wanted you to do.
Yeah. And just because they gave you Obama, President Obama, don't mean that's your daddy either.
Yeah,
I'm still your daddy. Come to me. Come to me because, see, this is the thing with that. And I understand your point, Bone, because what you're saying, I would go to this point. The president became the president, right? You got Congress fighting against him. Well, maybe we can't vote and put people in that we think going to have our best interests at heart once they get in because it seems like they turn on. So now let's start implying into our young adults. Instead of being doctors, lawyers, because really at the end of the day, we got enough for them. And it's only about success in that. It's not even about the standpoint that I want my son to save somebody. It's more about you just want to say you're a doctor. Let's get into where it counts. Let's raise politicians. Let's raise, because now if you raise a politician with the understanding that it's two matrices and you get him in there, you get that number, you get numbers in there. Once you get numbers in there, the matrix becomes outside of the matrix, inside of Congress.
Right.
We might should be looking at other avenues of going about, because the truth of the matter is, yes, we can run for Congress, and we can still do that. There's no problem with us doing that or going and running for office, elective office. We can do that, but you're going to have to build numbers. So let's stop telling the kids, be the next NBA or NFL, or a doctor or a lawyer, because we always thought doctors and lawyers was prestigious. And until this point, to Bone made this point today, I would have been one of those parents who said, yeah, be successful. Because then what I've been fed to believe success is a doctor, a lawyer, or something like that. Truth of the matter is, what runs the world is the government.
People who care about people.
Yes.
Is what we need.
That's what you need. That's what you need in there. So these children, our kids that we're raising to go about things the right manner, put that in the back of their mind. Just like we never thought, because see, we thought so long that we had no place in politics.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even see a black president. We didn't see that coming. We thought that would never happen because that wasn't in our business. How it ain't?
Mm-hmm.
How it ain't in our business? The government pay us, the IRS take our taxes. You know what I'm saying? We got to follow by the laws of the land, but when it comes to that, ain't none of my business.
And I know some people will probably want to say, well, you know, what difference would it make?
No.
Elect these people. If they got that much power and that much influence, it don't really matter who I get in there. No, even they're going to eventually convert to that.
Right.
In order to keep that position that they've obtained. But one thing it will do, it exposed the matrix.
Yes.
If nothing else.
And once it's exposed, everybody pick up on it.
Once everybody is awake, what you going to do then?
Yeah, one now becomes irrelevant.
What do you want? What are you going to do then once you've exposed yourself?
Yeah. I'm loving it.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go this route. Now we have transitioned officially into topic three, which is living in the matrix, because we've exposed it kind of. We kind of understand the agendas and all of this and all that, even though we'll never know the full.
We understand that there is an agenda.
We understand there is an agenda, and that's all we need to
understand. Yeah.
So now, how do you live under these circumstances? How do you live in it? Well, my suggestion, once again, for the understanding required, is you go back to history and what history has taught you. And one of the first things, as you said, BJ, is the first thing they broke and they changed about us was the first impactful move they made, I'll say it that way, was creeping into our religion, creeping into our spirituality, and creating a
religion.
Because we were a spiritual people. Now I would tend to say, I'm going to say we are a religious people. And now for those who wonder about Koi, who are religious or spiritual or whatever, and I'm sorry I'm going this route, but I'm going
go
this
ahead, route. Go ahead.
Who've been telling me that there's something that I'm supposed to do and telling me who God is and telling me what's wrong and what's right and this. Here's my answer to you. We go back and we look at the truth, the way, and the life. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
We live according to his rule.
Mm-hmm.
And we let him be ruler. What does it matter what they do?
Yeah.
See, I knew I had to accept at one point in my life that my time here was going to be limited. I can't live here forever. So I'm not necessarily trying to control what happens here because I ain't staying here.
Mm-hmm.
My only job here is to make sure that when I leave here, I go where I'm going to stay forever.
Right.
This is core though. Okay. In doing so, I'm not concerned with your agenda. I understand it. I see it. The possibilities of it, I'll put it that way. And you can do whatever you want to do because at the end of the day, who I believe in, you can't stand up
to. Right. Right.
No amount of money, no amount of power, no amount of resource, no amount of anything can stand up to what I believe in and who I believe got me.
Yeah.
So I'm not afraid of you.
Right.
And by not being afraid of you, I don't have to live under the constraints of your rules. I don't have to live under your fear. I don't have to live under anything that you try to invoke to control me. Now it's that choice. Okay, if I'm going to live under his rulership, that other one, God, say his name, if I'm going to live under his rulership, then I have to be willing to turn away from everything that the matrix offers me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I still live in it. Yes, there are things that I need to survive in it, but I don't have to thrive in it. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I don't have to fight to attain things within this matrix. Because I know who my provider is, and it's not you. I'm trying to go, let's go back to our spirituality. If beginning and end is who he says that he is a part of me, and he has my best interest, and he'll never go anywhere, he has control over this, and he's coming back to this world, that you're trying to do all of this, and maybe the message that I should be getting when I talk to other people who believe in him is not that I need to be in church, because church is contaminated. Not all of them.
Right.
But the idea of church is contaminated to a certain degree. What message are you really sending? What message should you be sending? Should I be focused on government? Should I be focused on the matrix? Should I be focused on the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the whoever else? Should I be focused on them? Should I even care what they're doing? Or should I just see it and not see it?
For me, to answer that, I live within my own matrix. I'm a part of the big matrix. I'm not living in it, because that's not living. I've tried that way. I didn't know it, but I was living in the Matrix, literally, the broad Matrix. And it was terrible. When I chose to make the decision to go with the other side, which is not of the world, and with God, and my own, it's so peaceful here. It's chill here. It's a lot easier because, like you said, Rockefeller said that. I get that. I'm aware of that because it's a part of my surroundings.
Right.
But I'm not living in that. No. I live in a way, because see, I'm practicing here to live forever. I'm living in my matrix here, but it's a practice to live forever. Now, you can't stop me from going to live forever because now I know what living is. When I was in the other matrix, that was living. You told me it was living. I was fooled to believe that I was living. That's what you accepted. So once you accept that, you don't know no better. And it becomes so consuming to the point, like you say, to you sitting there saying, like, okay, why should I do anything different? And so much so that if I'm in it, I'm going to tell you, you need to be doing what I'm doing. And I don't even get, I'm not doing what I could be doing.
I heard you say that they can't stop you from living in that other life. Right?
Right. My personal matrix to me.
Right.
Yeah.
I would go as far to say, once you accept life,
mm-hmm.
and we know that there is one life.
One life, yeah.
Nothing else can kill you.
No. That is so true. That is
because
so true.
I've accepted life.
And you ain't scared of death no more. Because the death you died was the best death you ever had.
There's nothing to be scared of because it don't exist. I already did it.
Yeah. I told you I'm practicing a little well.
The death that happened was me dying to the matrix.
Yeah.
Now, that's a hard thing to do.
No, yeah. Because that's all you know. You was born into
it. You was born in this.
Yeah.
You live in this. So how do I live in something but be dead too?
Yep.
That sounds almost impossible.
Yeah.
But the only way I can achieve that is to accept
life.
I have to be willing to accept life to get over the fear of death.
Yeah.
People live all their lives and never accept life.
Yeah.
So then you didn't even deserve, you didn't earn the right to die.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You died for nothing.
Yes. It sounds harsh, but it's real.
It's true.
It's real.
What in this world is worth me holding on to so strong that I can't accept life?
Yeah. That's how big the matrix is. That matrix. That the broad, the matrix we all are aware of. That's how big it is. And I can say we all aware of it because everybody that is on earth is aware of the matrix. Individually, everybody might not be aware of their own matrix because you've accepted the matrix you know. But
that is that individual matrix.
Yeah, that's it. Why should I think? This is what I've been told. This is what it is.
Hey, they don't want you to think.
No. No.
It's not built for you.
It's one of the greatest moments.
Live in it. The thinking is the transition, I believe. The thinking is what leads you to either go to the left or to the right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Your thinking is what's going to direct you. Once I get to where I'm going, I'm done thinking.
Yeah.
There's no need to think no more because I've either accepted left or I accept right. And if I accept right, he's going to think for me. If I accept left, he's going to think for me. And my fate is in what they think.
Yeah. It's true. It's so broad to it's complex, and that part is totally ironic, but it's the truth. It's so broad to it's complex because how can you not grasp the fact that this is what it is? Because it's all you see. I remember telling you this one before, T. I can give you 10 people, and if I tell them something, 9 times out of 10, ain't none of them gonna go along with me if one of them don't. All the rest gonna go along with what's easier, what they see everybody else do.
Yes.
If I get one of them, I accomplish my job.
Because he's gonna go out and get somebody.
He might not say nothing. He might agree too with everybody else because it's just that matrix.
Yeah.
But you have to release what you know, and you tell us. You tell me and Mom this all the time. If you know it, it's almost your responsibility to share.
What's the purpose of knowing?
I can't, once again, you throw something at me, I can't dispute it. So I'm going to have to say, anything I know, I'm going to be willing to share. I'm not going to push it on you. But you ain't going to stop me from talking about what I think and what I feel. Because I want you to do the same thing with me. I'm an open sponge. I'm an open sponge. I mean, and I used to say, don't come at me with the nonsense. Bring that to me.
Bring it all.
Bring it all, man. Bring it all. Because I don't know now. I've opened my eyes to see that now. You never know when you're going to learn something.
Let me ask you a question. Going along with that thing. What would it profit you to understand? What would it profit you? What would it profit God for you to understand that he's real if you're going to keep it to yourself?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. And if he's put me in a platform, but if he's put me in a platform where I can project that on a main screen or on a small screen, but if those around me can see it, I'm doing him an injustice. Not me. I'm doing God an injustice. I'd rather do me an injustice than do God. I really would. Because everything I am and everything I have is because of him.
It's a small man. So now, how do we live in the matrix? Well, according to me, once again, you get back to that place, or I ain't gonna say back, get to that place. You understand God and his in his wholeness as it pertains to you. You'll never understand him and his wholeness. Mm-hmm. You probably will never understand it as it pertains to you, but significant enough to where you can accept it.
Yeah.
Once you do that, you realize that you don't have to live under the rules of this world or anything in it.
Yeah.
So now, inherently, by you living according to another world, you don't even have to open your mouth, really. Just live it.
Just live it.
And you will affect everybody you come in contact with, whether you believe it or not. You will affect everybody you come in. You don't have to.
I say all the time, living needs no introduction.
No.
When it happens, and everybody knows it. You might not even know it. You can introduce it and don't even know it for yourself.
That's because it ain't for me to know.
No. It goes along with what you say. At the end of the day, I ain't worried about that.
Exactly. So, back to those people that I addressed earlier.
Yeah.
My intent is not to show anybody that I know who God is.
Right.
My intent is not to make myself look
grandiose.
Anything other than how you see me. Because how you see me is how you're supposed to see me, because I am who I am.
I'm okay with it.
Period. I'm okay with it. Whether it changes tomorrow or not, today, I'm okay with it. So how you see me is exactly how you're supposed to see me. Now, what you should probably do is stop looking at me so much and think about how you see you. Because what's important to me is how I see me.
Mm-hmm.
There are some things I don't like about you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know where they come from, and it's because I have an understanding that I don't live according to all the time. So it don't sit well with me.
Right, right.
I'm not okay with me sometimes. Sometimes I am.
Right.
But I can't allow you to make me not okay with me.
Right.
I almost go to a step up, not so much of what you said is how I see me, is how God sees me.
Yeah.
That's the me I'm talking about. Because
okay. All right. I got you there.
Yeah.
Because if you put him first, everything else don't fall in line in your life.
Exactly.
Basically, once you let go of driving the steering wheel and let him grab it, you don't have to worry about nothing. You can be in the matrix all day long. He's going to guide you where you need to go in order to survive and to find your path within that matrix.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to drop that white rabbit in there for you to follow. Of course, you're going to be decisions you're going to have to make along the way because Buddy exists and he's there, and that's his job, is to influence you and to distract you. But at least for me, speaking for myself, realizing that there's a bigger purpose for me.
Mm-hmm.
I may not know that purpose, I may not ever know that purpose. I may not live to see that purpose, like you say all the time, Dad. I may not live to see that come, you know, to fruition.
Right.
But just the simple fact that I'm aware of it allows me to navigate through this minefield of negativity and everything else that exists in the world. There's minefields everywhere.
The world exists. The world belongs to a being that cares about nobody.
Yeah.
My idea of this person or this being or this whatever you want to call it is simply this. Because he has been disconnected, his only mission is to get any and everybody he can to be and remain disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
Rothschild and Rockefeller included. That is his goal. And if I can get you to die being disconnected, then I won.
Yeah.
It's just that simple. Whatever way I got to do it, if I got to put the girl in the red dress there,
mm-hmm.
or if I got to put whatever I got to put in front of you to keep you disconnected, I'll do it. The one thing Corey has to understand is the only power he has is that I give you.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of what I give you, you're powerless. Absolutely, totally powerless.
This is my thing on that, and I'm going to pick it back off on a little bit. When we get the understanding that we are set here to do something, and you understand your purpose, you have to understand in that purpose it may not come to glory. Because it ain't yours no way. God is using you to glorify his word. It's not for you to be glorified here.
Right.
Just like I always tell you about the drum major when James and John asked God to sit on his left and one on the right. And he said, you don't know what you ask.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You don't want the glorification that it took God to get the way he is. And for Jesus to go through the things. You do what you're supposed to do and let him do the rest. He's done it all for you already. Just sit back, let him handle it. I already understand this because I know it from a standpoint of this. Everybody that I've loved, I've understood I loved them more after I lost them.
Mm-hmm.
Everything they did great for me here, I recognize, but I appreciate after they left.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I'm not going to be what I'm going to be. Or I'm not going to be here right now in the present what I may be when I'm gone. So I'm not looking for no recognition. I'm just glorifying God while I'm here. Because like I told you, I'm practicing to live forever. You see what I'm saying? I'm setting up myself in the practice. And I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. It ain't for me to do. I don't let it alone. But inside of that, you have the matrix.
Yes.
So that means there's going to be times where the matrix gets a hold of me.
It's everywhere.
I'm flesh. There's nobody perfect but God. So I wasn't supposed to be perfect. I get that. I accept that. Like you say, there's some things you don't like about yourself. Be glad of that because you can find them. Some people don't see them. Be glad that you're well enough that you know it's a matrix and you know it affects me.
Yeah.
It affects me so it turns me away from where I really need to be. You're well. The first step, and this is coming from an alcoholic, somebody usually don't talk about it, but the first step in admitting that you have a problem is saying, I'm an alcoholic. So you have to point out your own faults inside yourself. You don't have to say it out loud. You never have to say it out loud. If you get it inside yourself, everything will change. Then the matrix becomes irrelevant because now it doesn't control you no more.
Yeah.
Before that point, it told you something else, and you went lonely. The truth of the matter is, everybody around you know you're a damn alcoholic. You know what I'm saying? It's so real. So I just took a personal standpoint. That's how real it is.
And it absolutely is.
Yeah, it's just that real. It's just that real.
In being that real, that also lets me know how real God is.
Yeah.
My problem with religion, and I have to keep going here because that's what I see most, religion, is that you make God so grandiose. And
mm-hmm.
he is. I get it. I swear to you, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you made it as simple as he's a part of me, as grandiose as he is, he's a part of me, I'm a part of him. And if I choose him, nothing else can win.
Yeah.
It's just that simple. The truth is what it is.
Yeah. And to pick it back what you just said, you know, they build God up to be so grandiose that he's almost unattainable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was trying to avoid this, but, you know, the church, for instance,
mm-hmm.
you know, the new church, as I call it, the new church, not new churches, because I'm putting them in a box, but the new church, to keep it generalized, makes it almost seem that it is just difficult to reach that point of understanding to where that you just give up free.
Yeah.
They make it, you know, you got to be here every Sunday. You got to be here every Wednesday. You got to pay your tithe.
Again,
you got to do all of this. You got to do all of this. You got to go down this checklist almost in order to even be considered someone worthy of obtaining the knowledge of their being, of what we need in order to, you know, I'm gonna stop playing around with it. I'm just going to say.
Go ahead. That's what I'm talking about. Go ahead.
You know, see, and so before I get to B. All right, so. Living in the matrix. How do we live in the matrix?
Mm.
What I've gathered since we've been on this topic for the last however many minutes, the main weapon you need in order to live within the matrix is God.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
You saw that thing.
Plain and simple. You know, I'm just going to go ahead and just put it out there for everybody that's listening. This is what we basically are saying, that in order to live within the matrix, in order to survive this war that we are in, you have to have God in your life.
Yeah.
You have to give up that I that you always talk about.
Yeah.
That I ain't yours.
Mm-mm.
I know that was improper English. But it ain't.
It
ain't yours. Give it to who it belongs to. Give it who said that you can give it to me. I'm telling you can give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to me, and I promise you I will make your life and I will make this world easier and it's easy.
Yeah.
I'll make it easier for you. And that's hard because we are flesh, and we are a part of the world. Whether we like it or not, we're here. Until we go, we're here.
Yeah.
You're here. You're preaching right
now. Yeah.
And I mean,
and I love it. And
you're
I
preaching
love it.
Right
and
now.
I just
want you to know that.
Yeah, the matrix, this whole dynamic will take you there. Because like I said earlier, I went into a personal standpoint. And I do want to clear this up. And not because I need to, but because I want to. I'm going to say it like this. I am an alcoholic, but I'm a recovering alcoholic. So that don't mean I'm an alcoholic at the stage I'm at now. But I always will be an alcoholic, and I understand that. So that doesn't bother me. So I just want to clear that up. But Bones, what you're saying, are you going in on that? I feel the same way. Because at the end of the day, it's just this simple. The matrix is Satan. Outside of that is God. You can't win with Satan. You know that. Everybody on this earth knows Satan is bad. So much so that black has became bad, or if you hot, you going to hell. That's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's bright and it's nice and you cool and you calm, that's God. That's peace. That's pleasure. Why does God have all these good things attached to him and Satan has all these bad things and I choose to follow the bad guy? Makes no sense. So if that's the matrix you want to be in, that's what you're going to get. I'm not telling you or shooting you down for that, because listen, I was there. I've been in that matrix. I'm telling you from a person that understands. Listen, I said I was an alcoholic. I was in that matrix. I am an alcoholic. Still is. Can't change that. Don't want to, because I'm there today because I'm an alcoholic. So that's all. I'm through.
Passion.
I'm through.
This is wrong
path. I'm
through. I heard it from both angles.
I'm through. I'm through, too. You got to clean it up.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
You said exactly what you meant.
And
what you wanted to say.
It goes that deep. It goes that deep. It feeds in us now because we know.
How can you know and not choose?
Yes, we know. And it's just like, come on.
My problem has been, and I just realized this moment, is not that I don't believe. Mm-hmm. It's not that I don't accept. It's none of that. It's the simple fact that I've listened to what people said I should do because I believe and because I accept. You can't tell me that. You can't tell me that. You don't know what you should do.
Mm-mm.
Why? Because you go to church every Monday, every Sunday, Wednesday, Monday, whatever days you go. Great. I'm not discouraging that. But understand that every person that walks this earth is spotted.
Yeah.
Every single one. So because you don't see me in the building and you know my spots, don't mean that I'm just, hey, man, look, I ain't even concerned with yours.
Yeah.
Yes, I got spots. I'm going to have spots. I'm going to have spots till the day I ain't in them all. I'm going to keep them. Sorry.
And we're not downing church. Listen to what we're saying. Understand what we're saying. Church was put in place for a place of fellowship and to worship.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was about. For like minds to come together, sit down, and enjoy themselves and praise God. That's what it was about. It has came away from that. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about these standardized realities that has been in place in religion.
Yes.
That's the issue. We're not talking about the whole form.
A certain set of things, like you were saying, you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to do this and you got to do that. No, man, he said, if you can believe and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ died and rose again, you then become saved.
Yeah.
Yes, there are things that you can do to show appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there are things that you can do. Yes. But it's not a rule.
No.
It's not a rule. There is no, if there was one set of standard guidelines, why are there so many denominations of churches?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
If there was one guideline.
Yeah.
No, you're just doing it the way the denomination that you believe in tells you to do it.
Yeah.
The denomination I believe in is not C-O-G-I-C.
Mm.
It's G-O-D, period.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
That's all I believe in.
Yeah,
separation, man, and that buddy again. I mean,
separation.
You know, I mean, why are there so many different of one
religion?
If not to cover us, I guess, in all aspects, if nothing else, is to keep us separated. To keep us separated. To keep us from noticing or knowing our true, I'm almost say agenda. You know what I'm saying? For us to find what it really is that we're all intended to be. We're all here for a reason. I believe that. Whatever that reason, we may not, like I said, we keep saying, we may not know what it is. We may not be here to see it come true. But we're all here for a reason. Why must we be separated? That's not what it was built to bring us together.
Yeah, because that is another weapon of the same force that we go to church to resist.
Mm-hmm.
We accept and bring into church separation. Bind a strong man.
Yeah.
House can't stand. In worldly terms, they say a house divided can't stand.
Yeah.
All of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, anytime you have division, separation is going to cause conflict, confusion, and you never unite. The plan is never achieved because there's always, if there's only one in that group that goes against, it's a problem. Put the focus on where it should be and get rid of the rest of that, and let's see where this world goes.
Yeah.
Get rid of your names and get rid of your all of your titles. And get rid of all that. You are a brother just like I'm a brother, he's a brother just like she's a brother, just like whatever the case may be, we are all children under one father.
Yeah.
Period.
That's what it comes back to, and that's what it is. I mean, it's simple. It's simply said and hardly achieved. It's hard to achieve.
Sum it up for your boy. Grab the right daddy leg.
Yeah.
Don't go grabbing, you know, the wrong daddy. Out of just, you know, fear and confusion, you grab the first leg, you come running up and look up. Huh. Look up.
Mm-hmm.
and make sure you are grasping the leg or the hand of the true ball.
See where it takes you.
Yeah.
Huh. Hey, man. I'm done.
Yeah, I'm out. Once again, man, we enjoyed, I enjoyed the show. I speak for my co-hosts. I know they did because I'm sitting here with them. I know what's going down. We had us a good time, man. This is what we do. We put our thoughts out there, our opinions. We welcome yours, as always. Call in. Let us know you're listening. If not, just call in to listen. That's good, too. You know, we're just trying to open up the airwaves to people with outside thoughts, inside thoughts.
Dream. the way he talk. My whole attitude is mine, it ain't so bald. Give a right to scripture, hope you get the picture. It gives me the answers to my different issues. Life is pain, we can compensate and bring the light over and over. The bills keep coming right. The devil's gonna test you, but really no pressure. Just believe, have faith, and hear direction. Diamonds and dollar signs, they on my red slippers. Money maker in my time, happy hour tipper. Secret has my rhyme, just to help the crime rate. Hope my words change your life, tell my people safe.
Cause I can't see a rapture.